I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. And welcome to Minute 44 of Season 6 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Todd Liebenow of the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back, Todd.
Great to be back.
It's always fun having you on. And, I mean, today is somewhat of a milestone. I mean, first of all, this is my 665th episode, which is not really much of a milestone specifically, but more importantly, today is the day that I am now finishing my fifth decade and beginning my sixth decade on this planet, because today is my 50th birthday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I didn't have to do anything just except stay alive. You know that.
No. Yeah. Hey, that's something, I tell you. And, you know, I hit that milestone 2.5 years ago myself, and I'm loving the 50s. The 50s have been great for me so far. So, you know, here's to the next 50.
All right, great. I wonder how many movies I'll be able to get done, movies by minute, if I last that long.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to be prepared to keep coming back, though. Yeah, that's the deal.
As long as I'm able.
Definitely. There you go. As long as we're both able. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good.
Oh, I should have asked you, Rob, what do you want for your birthday? Because I can throw a lasso around the moon and pull it down for you.
What do I want for my birthday? It's a difficult question to answer because of the fact that, I'm recording this, 2 months beforehand, actually exactly 2 months beforehand. Today is is the 11th of November, and my birthday is 11th of January. So yeah, two months exactly. And a lot is going on in the world, especially my part of the world. And I have no idea what's going to be going on 2 months from now. My hope is, and if I do get a birthday wish 2 months early, I would say I hope that everything is settled here and that there is true peace. How's that?
I think that's a good one. Absolutely.
You know, and I'm not just saying that as a, you know, it's not like in Groundhog Day where he says, and, you know, I always drink to world peace.
and, you know, throw in a few Blu-rays and that'll be good too.
if
you're like me, you know, people know all they have to do to make me happy on my birthday is load me up with DVDs and Blu-rays and I'm good to go.
There you go. That's true. So Todd, if you want to send me one, go ahead. you painted yourself into that corner.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so I will look forward to getting all these DVDs and Blu-rays from everyone out there. You know, just tell me what you don't want. That's more or less.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So minute 44 begins with Mary trying to get some sort of clarification and ends with George giving a very hesitant answer. So we ended things yesterday with George picketing outside of Mary's house. Mary is looking through the window. What's the phrase from Romeo and Juliet? Yonder window.
Oh, what light through yonder is that?
That's something like that. Yeah.
You're asking the guy that was not the English major in our household. So yeah.
I don't know the answer either. That's the thing. So, you know, what light through the window yonder break or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? But Mary's at the window looking out at George. And, you know, she asked him, what have you made up your mind? And then he said, "How's that?" And then she started saying again, "Have you made?" And then today's minute finishes up her sentence, "Up your mind." And he goes, "About what?" She goes, "About coming in. Your mother just phoned and said you were on your way over to pay a visit." "My
Which is
mother just."
such a mom thing to do.
That's
I
right.
mean,
"My mother just called. How did she know? Didn't you tell her?" "I didn't tell anybody. I just went for a walk and happened to be passing by here." "What do you went for a walk? That's all." And again, I don't think she's really buying the whole thing. And I mean, the whole thing is also really funny that his mother actually called up Mary to say, "By the way, George is on his way over," because we've already
yeah.
established they live next door to one another. So.
It's just the kind of moment you think, you'd go home later and be like, "Mom, I can't believe that you called her. What are you trying to do to me here?"
Well, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. The way that that this evening ends for George, I don't think he's going to say that to his mother. So who
But,
knows?
I mean, moms, that's part of their job is to give dating advice to their sons because they know how clueless their husbands were once upon a time, and they're trying to push their sons in the right direction.
That's right. And in this case, she's right, because George and Mary were meant for one another. I guess, It's also very strange. Like, why would his mother call up? Like, okay, she calls up and says George is on his way over, and she's like, "Well, he's not here. Well, go out and look for him." I mean, like, what? How's
Well,
that
and
conversation go?
plus, she called, right? But the thing is, when George last saw his mother, he was walking off in the wrong direction. So for all she knows, he wasn't going to go over there after all.
So maybe that actually proves that their house is to the left and not to
But she's
the
the one that pointed him into the direction of going off to
right.
the right, screen right, what we're watching. He goes off that. She pointed him. She turned him and pushed him off that direction. So if that's actually the direction that's wrong, did she know then that he was going to turn around and come back? So I don't know. Maybe it's more complicated than we could have ever imagined.
Yeah, the whole thing. Maybe they live in a cul-de-sac, and no matter where you go, it's going to get to the right.
There you go. That's it. Bedford Falls is just a big circle. It's under a dome. It's, they're all secluded there and trapped. And, eventually he's, no matter which way he goes, he's going to end up back at Mary's house.
There you go. And therefore, no matter where he goes, even if he's going through town, he's going to get to Mary's house.
Yes, all roads lead to Mary's house.
Okay, that makes sense. There is something about that. And so at this point, Mary like leaves the window, and George looks over and is very confused as to what's going on or whatever it is. And then we get a shot inside of the house of Mary running toward down, towards the stairs and then down the stairs. And as she's about to go down the stairs, she calls out to her mother and says, "I'll be downstairs, mother." "All right, dear." So again, like when you're walking around your house, do you say to your wife, "Amy, I'm going to the I don't know, to the living room."
No, but I do say
"I'm going to the basement."
I'm going to the basement to podcast. That one regularly happens at our house.
That's true. That's true.
But yes.
And your wife, like my wife, probably says again.
Yeah. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Whatever. Let the dog out before you go to bed,
Well, this isn't the middle of the night for you this time. You did that last time.
No.
That's you
No,
did
we're in
that.
daytime right now.
We did for your show. We recorded when it was nighttime for you. Those months
Yes.
ago. Yes.
I have gotten creative sometimes with times. I mean, folks that I podcast with a lot, I get to know kind of what works best for their time zones a lot of times. But I one time did like 6 a.m. before I went to work that day to accommodate somebody. You got to get creative sometimes when it comes to these podcasts.
That's right. Well, creative is always fun. Why not? So then we see her arrange stuff in her house. She reaches the downstairs. It's as if she's like straightening things up a little bit, and then she takes like this picture out that what's it called? Is it like crocheted?
You know, that's what I wondered. I was trying to figure out because at first I look when I look at it, I go, okay, is it a drawing? But I know maybe it's a crochet or something like that. But yeah, I think you've got the right term there. I mean, not that I know anything about sewing or that kind of stuff, but yeah, I think a crochet is correct.
Yeah, and we see that it's a picture, and it says George lassos the moon, and we see,
Which it's fun. I love like caricature type of things like this. I've always been intrigued by that kind of stuff. You know, I've talked before about my love of old animation, you know, the classic stuff from the Looney Tunes and whatnot. And they used to regularly do shorts where they would do caricatures of famous people, Jimmy Stewart among them, you know, in some of these shorts. And so I've always had an interest in that art form and caricatures, like the Al Hirschfeld stuff, for example, too. The line drawings that he did that were caricatures. I think that stuff is cool.
Yeah. And the thing about this picture is if you look at it, the script letters look like they're all supposed to be like a lasso,
Like a rope.
a
Yeah.
rope. Yeah. And I like the detail that he's wearing the same oversized outfit that he was wearing a few weeks ago, when they were when they were walking home from the dance. And they do get the fact that he has the number 3 on his jersey, which is what he had there also.
Oh yeah.
So their
Well, I
attention
mean,
to
this is
detail
a
is great.
it's an iconic moment in Mary's mind, you know, and so this is something she's been hanging on to. And I mean, just I couldn't help but freeze frame this as I was rewatching it, just looking at all the detail in there. I love the expression on the moon. I mean, the moon looks angry that he's being lassoed, you know, and that's kind of fun. And I mean, I hadn't even realized, but I mean, apparently fans of this movie, they're big on this image. I mean, I just did a really quick Google search on this, and like you can buy prints of this that you can frame and put on your wall. You can buy Christmas ornaments that have this on there. I found like t-shirts and sweatshirts and jackets that have this logo on it. This is an important image for folks that are big fans of this movie.
Oh wow, very cool. And then she quickly runs back through. Now when she's walking down the stairs, I didn't mention this, she basically checks her hair in the mirror to making sure that her hair is done properly. And then she walks over to the record player, and then she spins the record to let it start playing. Now,
I
do you
love the
think
old record player. It's
Do you
great.
think, so do I, do you think that she put the record there earlier knowing that George was on his way over, or that is her go-to record? Like she's always thinking of George, so therefore she will always be listening to music. I don't know, listening to this song.
I have to kind of think she on there, you know, just and kind of in anticipation of him coming over. I mean, kind of going back to some of the other things we were saying about, you know, that she's all dressed up and she's got all these other things that are kind of ready and you know, mother called and anticipating the visit and all that stuff. So, you know, it seems like she's planned out a bunch of other elements here. So I have to think this is part of the planning.
Okay, but then why would she have closed the record player if she knew he was coming over? Just leave it open.
Cause dust, you don't want to get dust on the record, you know, close it up. I mean, there's always dust floating around, right?
Okay, meaning she doesn't really know when he's going to show up, so we might as well.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. And then she runs
Do
over
you
and.
still have a record player, Rob?
No, I do not. No.
Oh, see, I do. I do.
Ooh.
I've got a couple of them. They're not fancy, I admit. They get the job done, but I do enjoy going down to some of the shops that still sell records, sell used records. I don't buy new records. I mean, there's a big thing right now to release stuff on record again, on vinyl again. You know, I mean, like new releases are coming out on vinyl all the time. That's not what I'm looking for. I love going down, like browsing through the movie soundtrack section and trying to find, you know, soundtracks that are out of print, and getting them on vinyl. So, you know, what vinyl I do have right now is mostly movie soundtracks.
Okay.
But, that's fair. But I think that's a lot of fun. I think I love trying to find those obscure movie soundtracks that I can't find anywhere else or that aren't on streaming or things like that.
Really? There are those out there that you can't find.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm always looking for the ones that are like the some of the 80s soundtracks that were, you know, like compilations of songs more than scores, though I love getting the score ones too.
Right.
But like, you know, when I'm at some used record shop and I can find these things for like $6-7 or whatever, I'm buying these vinyl soundtracks that I wouldn't have necessarily bought back in the day. You know, I'm going, oh, look at this. It's the soundtrack to Soul Man starring C. Thomas Howell. Here's About Last Night. Here's, Blue City starring Judd Nelson and Ally Sheedy. I mean,
like, I hated that movie.
It's not a great movie, but I was like, oh, yeah, it's a Ry Cooder soundtrack. All right, that seems interesting. So. I'm endlessly intrigued by, some of the music of 80s movies, especially one of my favorite ones that I've gotten on vinyl is the soundtrack to Summer School, starring Mark.
What a great movie. I love
which
that movie.
That is one where, you know, like I said, most of these that I find, they're not in the greatest shape. I can get them for $6-7 or whatever. Summer School, I found somewhere they were wanting $25 for. I was like, I'm going to buy that for $25. It's got some cool Danny Elfman stuff on there. You know, there's some other just, you know, really fun songs that you just can't find out there on any of the streaming services. So, that was one I had to grab.
Oh, wow. $25. That's a lot also for that. But okay. All right, that's fair. I mean, I also love 80s soundtracks, but I don't need them on records. I don't need them on vinyl. Wait, does this mean you still have your LaserDisc collection and your Betamax collection?
I never had a Beta player. I my family didn't buy a VHS machine until, you know, kind of the war was won and VHS was the clear winner. So I've always been VHS. Though I need a player right now. Mine is broken. I need a new one. I'm hoping that my...
today's my birthday, not yours, so sorry.
I know, but, you know, I was at my parents a few weeks ago, and they had a VCR there. I was like, do you guys ever use that? You never use that? When you're really ready to get rid of that, give it to me. But I actually do have a LaserDisc player down here. I haven't broken it out for a long time. I got that in an exchange from another guy. He was looking to get rid of it, and I helped him out with something, and he was like, oh, what should I pay you on this? And I was like, give me the LaserDisc player and we're good to go. I've got that. I mean, it's fun to visit old forms of media, but I mean, in some ways vinyl is not old anymore. It's coming back.
Right.
You know, they're producing new vinyl all the time. So
true. Okay. That's fair. Okay. So at this point, she opens the door. We start hearing the music in the background for Buffalo Gals, which we've already discussed. And well, not Todd and I, but I've already discussed it. And then she screams to him and says, well, are you coming in or aren't you? Which is a very strange thing to say because she just opened the door.
She's anxious.
She's definitely very anxious. That we know. You know, but it's just very weird of her saying, "Are you coming in or not?" You know, because he's not at the front door yet? I think you think that maybe is what it is.
Yeah, I've been so, you know, just waffly about everything. You know, he can't commit to actually doing anything. You know, are you going to Mary's house? Yeah, I'm going to Mary's house. No, I'm not going to Mary's house. You know, he can't make up his mind about this. So,
his brother has made him very confused. His brother's made him very confused. That's what it comes down to. And then he basically decides that he wants to come in, and he has a little bit of trouble opening the front gate.
Which again, this is one of those things where I can totally relate to George Bailey because I would be that guy who's like trying to do the simplest of tasks and can't do it and can't make it work. Maybe I've wondered watching this, is this because he's nervous, because he's flustered in that way? Is he maybe kind of faking it somewhat here because he's like, do I really want to do this? So I don't know which it is, but I know that sometimes the simplest of devices give me trouble. So I can understand not being able to open a simple gate.
Right. Wouldn't it be funny if it was if that wasn't what was planned, and it just happened, when they were in the middle of filming that he wasn't able to open
Yeah.
it.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of those, there's often stories about those kinds of moments in films where something didn't work right. I
Well, we
mean,
talked about it last
like,
week with the garbage cans. That was all added on the spot.
I always think of the stormtrooper who bumps his head
Of
in
course,
Star Wars.
of course, of course. That is definitely it's one of those things that you can never unsee.
Right.
Every time I watch Star Wars, yeah, I see it. There's a and for years, for decades, I never saw it. You have to
No, I didn't
focus on
see it
it.
either.
You have to focus on it, and then once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Or hear the fact that they actually reference it because the one stormtrooper says, see to him, when he bumps his head. So, yeah.
No, I don't. No, I think he was. Was you think he was referring to the stormtrooper? I mean, this isn't the Star Wars minute, but
That's the way I always took it.
I always thought he was referring to C-3PO and R2-D2. Interesting.
I always, the way I always heard it was that was added in referencing the fact that one of them bumped their head, and so he was saying, "See to him, like what's wrong with him?" kind of thing.
Interesting. No, I know that in Attack of the Clones, they had a point where Boba Fett or Jango Fett bangs his head. As he's walking under the door, and they said, "Oh, this is just a flaw in the, in the stormtrooper DNA." So I don't know. We shall never know if this was real or if this was faked. Oh well, it would be great to know if it really did. If this wasn't in the script and it wasn't meant to be there. But IMDb doesn't say anything about it, so we will have to assume that it was meant on purpose for him to have to try to jiggle that picket fence. That's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else for this minute?
I think we pretty much covered it.
All right, great. So every Thursday we have a segment called Jimmy Stewart Thursday, where my guests will give their top five Jimmy Stewart performances. So why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
First of all, I'll say I was very tempted to put Airport 77 on just because I love the airport franchise, but I
You
didn't do that.
can. You are allowed.
I know, but I didn't do that. No, because I had other choices that I had to go with first. So number five, I went with The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Ooh, I love that one.
Number four, Vertigo. Number three, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Number two, It's a Wonderful Life. And so number one has to be Rear Window.
So apparently you like him in Hitchcock movies.
I do. And I know a lot of people just, Vertigo is the top of the heap for a lot of folks when it comes to Hitchcock. But when it comes to Jimmy Stewart and Hitchcock, I've always been more of a Rear Window guy than Vertigo. I mean, truthfully, my favorite Hitchcock films are not Jimmy Stewart ones. My top ones are Psycho, North by Northwest, and The Birds. But
Interesting. My favorite Hitchcock movie is Lifeboat.
oh, that's a good choice. I can't argue with that.
That's the one I can watch over and over. It's just amazing. I'm also a big fan of The Man Who Knew Too Much. And I like the comedy aspect of Trouble with Her.
Oh yeah, no, it's one I just watched in recent years and was like, oh, what a funny movie this is.
Yes. Yeah, because like you don't expect to get a comedy like that from Hitchcock. And
Yeah.
I think that's part of
Absolutely.
the thing about it. Yeah. So yeah. All right. That's great. So Todd, why don't you once again tell people where they can find Todd Liebenow?
The blog is Forgotten Films, so that's at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. The podcast is The Forgotten Filmcast. You can find that wherever you find your podcasts, and you can follow me on Twitter at Forgotten Films. That's films with a Z.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. So, Todd, even though I've now, passed the age of 50, are you still willing to come back again tomorrow to join us for one more episode?
I am. I will step into your old age with you here tomorrow on the next episode.
All right, great. So until then, hot dog.
Hot dog.